Good morning.
Good morning.
I like I can't go into school up here. I've got all my books and stuff. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear precious Jesus, we come to you today thankful. Thank you for this holy day, this holy Sabbath, that we get to come together as brothers and sisters. May you humble our hearts, Lord. May you show us direction, show us guidance. We do ask for your Holy Spirit in this room. That is so important to us. Bring us, Lord, to an understanding of what your word is saying today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Bear with me. This thing, we lost the hook on it, so I'm going to have to hold it today. And I may end up dropping it, but I'll do the best I can. Today's title is The Secret Place. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, me and my brother David, we were about 9 and 10. I was 10, he was 9. We decided we wanted to build us a clubhouse. And it was just right in the edge of the woods, right behind our home. And we thought this was a secret place we were going to build. So we got our hatchet and our machete. We took out of the garage and a couple of buckets and a bag, a bread bag and some peanut butter. So we cleared our little spot, about a 12 by 12 spot, and got it all nice and clean, and we sat on our buckets and made ourselves a sandwich, and then I looked at him and said, "You ready to go home?" He said, "Yeah." Okay, we went home. And that was our secret place. And it was a great secret place until David made friends with the neighborhood kids down the street, and then I noticed there was a sign that said, "No girls allowed," and so it wasn't our place anymore. So that was so much of my secret place. So, but the title is called The Secret Place. And this is a special name for me, a title, because it has a whole lot of meaning that I just did not realize until I started doing this study. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6. And Matthew chapter 6 is, there's only three sections of it that I'm going to read. I'm going to read in verse 1 all the way through verse 18, but this is divided into three sections here, and I still hear, I love hearing those pages turn. So the word secret is used in three different times in this chapter 6, and in verses 1 through 4, it's going to be on the issue of giving. And then, of course, verse 5 through 14 is the substance and the sincerity of prayer. And then in verse 14 through 18 is about fasting. But in the first part, let's read. This is a time when Jesus was on the mount, and he had given this great speech, beautiful speech of the Beatitudes. And he had such power in his voice and authority that the people were mesmerized by this. And they loved how Jesus would speak to them, because he did not ever speak at them. He spoke to them. And he would look them right in the eyes. And he showed compassion and the love. And they saw that. They connected with him. And so they could not wait to be around this Jesus, what he was all about. They just loved him. They knew that there was life in the words that he said. And so during this time on the Sermon on the Mount, and he gives the beautiful Beatitude speech, and of course he goes into other things. He's talking about the keeping the commandments, how the law was still very important, and how murder begins in the heart, and these kind of things. He's covering so many areas, and they're soaking it up. They just love what he is saying. But when he gets to this part here, he gives them a warning, because it's very easy to step into something we're not prepared for. And this is what he's saying about Matthew chapter 6. He says, take heed. And notice this word, take heed. And take heed has a meaning. It says, I need to warn you something. You're in danger. And be very aware of what can happen to you is what he's addressing at the beginning. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do the charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. Do in the synagogues and in the streets that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't repeat what you're doing. That's what that means. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father sees in secret. Well, he will himself will reward you openly. And Jesus said, and this part right here, it talks about that word secret. Back to that secret. You know, secrecy sometimes we think is a bad thing. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, we're keeping something secret we shouldn't be revealing. But this is different. This is about a closeness. This is about a quietness. This is about not making it known to others. And in a humble spirit, in humbleness. And so he was saying that this issue of giving, make sure your heart is right when you're giving. Don't do this openly. Don't do this outwardly. Don't announce it. This is what you're doing. Hey, look at me. You know, it's important. But because in Revelation 11:22 says, I come quickly and my reward is with me. To give every man according to his work shall be. So do we have a reward coming? It's important to keep your eye on that reward, because I want you to understand this. That reward is important to understand in the time frame. And Jesus said that you're in danger of canceling your reward from God. And this is a dangerous thing. He said, we say we're not going to be people like that. We're not going to brag. That's not me. But think about that. We look at these people, these scribes, the Pharisees, the church leaders. They loved it. They loved the attention. They loved standing out in the street and praying long prayers. They loved to do that. They loved every bit of that. But Jesus said, watch out. You can do the same thing if you don't be aware. Be careful. Because we do like to toot our own horns at times, don't we? I do. I admit it, I do. We do like to notice. We like for people to notice for the things that we do. We all want recognition in some way or another. We like that affirmation. You know, some people, their love language is affirmation. That's mine. You know, everybody has their different love languages. There's a difference sometimes differentiating between affirmation and bragging. Sometimes you just want confirmation about what you do, if it's okay. But, and so we say, and to say we don't ever want some type of attention, you know, we're lying to ourselves. But when we elevate ourselves in the place of God, that's different, because we're taking his glory. And then we've sinned. Then we've sinned if we take his glory. But when we do a righteous act and take God's recognition for it, we're announcing it was inspired by us and not by God. And that way we're elevating ourselves first before him. So Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be like that. What is a hypocrite? False worship? Absolutely. False worship. You're pretending, aren't you? You're pretending to be Christ-like, but your motives are of Satan himself. You know, it's a self-serving motive. It's a sinful nature that we need to be very, very aware of every day. We're born with it. And I think it's something we probably practice more than we realize. You know, Sister so-and-so couldn't afford to pay her light bill this month. I took care of that for her, you know. Oh, that little old man that didn't have enough money for his groceries, but I made sure he was taken care of. You know, those little things like that, we don't think that we're tooting our own horn, but are we? We are. Have we given ourselves our reward? Absolutely. Yeah. Is it hot in here to you, Chandra? Because I saw you doing this because I'm doing this. So we love self-praise or even the praise of men more than what we think, more than what we think we do. I'm going to give you another story. I have two daughters. I have actually five daughters, but three are my stepdaughters. I call them my inherited daughters. But my daughters, Becky and Emily, Becky was 15 and Emily was 10. And I had decided one Thanksgiving that we were going to do something different. My daughters needed to understand what giving was and do something different. So we decided, I found a church in Orange that was giving out food for the ones homeless and the needy that needed a meal for Thanksgiving. So, of course, Becky thought, Mom, this is a great idea. Emily, why do we have to go to this? I want to stay home and I want to eat some turkey. I don't want to go. And we went and we were serving and helping people get their plates, put their plates on the table for them. It was a wonderful thing. The whole time Emily is griping. I want to go home. I don't want to be here. It's enough of this. Until Channel 12 showed up. She made sure she was in front of that camera everywhere it went. Of course, Becky kind of withdrew from the camera, but Emily was on TV and because she was doing a good deed. So, I will never forget that day. But we all can kind of get that way at one time or another. But think about it. Even look at how we dress. And there's nothing wrong with how we dress. But ladies, we can take an hour and a half, can't we, to get ready? Oh, yeah. We get that dress, that hair, that makeup. I went and pick out a new shade, make sure those eyes are shaded just correctly. Oh, yeah. And your clothes got to match, your shoes, your nail polish, and that matching purse. Do not leave without that matching purse. It's got to match. And if no one notices, that dress is going in the resale shop that weekend. Nah, I'm just kind of elaborating there. But man, don't you think you're innocent either. I can smell that good smelling cologne when you get out of that car. But you know, we like to dress nice. You know, men, you put on your nice suit, nice tie. We want to look nice. We get a nice haircut. You know, we ladies like to color our hair. Everyone likes to look nice. And there's nothing wrong with cleaning up and looking nice. We want to be good stewards of our hygiene. But Jesus is saying not to get too caught up in ourselves. Don't get caught up in ourselves too much. And I'll tell you a good experience that was a learning experience for me. Years ago, we were having communion at church, and I'd forgot. And I decided that my legs were too white. So I wanted to put some of that tanning stuff on my legs. And we were in the back doing the foot washing, and Sister Margie was washing my feet, and I noticed something. It started coming off in the water. And it was coming off good. And so I'm pulling my feet up. That's good, Miss Sister Margie. And she said, oh, no, honey. No, I'm not through. Let me finish. So she pulled my feet back down. And I'm like, oh. And then she did the next foot. And oh, my goodness. Well, thank goodness our tubs are black, so it didn't really show in there. But it showed on my feet. Because when we got through and she finished, I had a little tan from the ankles up. But I had white socks on from the ankles down. So my vanity was washed off that day. But these church leaders, they were this way. These church leaders were caught up in themselves. And they wanted to look good and wanted the outward praise of their good deeds. They didn't care about the poor, not at all. They would step on, they actually used them to step up their own image. That kind of got weird sounding there. To step up their own image. And they made a graven image to themselves. And that's the thing about it is, they received their own worship. And we don't even realize that we can do that. We never, you know, I never thought about that in that way. But they had built their own image up. Okay? Jesus said, you are in danger of doing that when you boast about the good things you do. And you're breaking the second commandment. Thought about that? That graven image we've created. So I want to read verse 4 again. It said, but that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father sees in secret, will himself reward you. And I want that reward. I don't want to forfeit God's reward. Now let's read verse 5 through 7. And when you pray, you shall not be like hypocrites. There's that word again. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, there it is, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, the private place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There it is again. That secret place, that concealed place, that intimate place with God where no one can see your conversation but your Holy Father. No one. No one. How many have ever seen The War Room? That movie. I love that movie. I love that movie. And if you've never had a chance to see it, please rent it, buy it, whatever. See this movie. It is truly a movie about going in your closet or going in a small room and becoming one-on-one with the Father. Because this is a time for raw, personal prayer, a time where no one around, no one can judge you. To bring every care and concern to Him, to cry, to show your deepest remorse or anger or happiness, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So our Heavenly Father has the biggest, biggest shoulders and is the greatest listener. So if you feel like no one's listening to you, God does. God does. God does. This is that secret place to be one-on-one with Him. Now, our Father loves it. He loves it when we come alone to Him. And when we're real with our prayers. That's what He wants. He wants that. And Psalms 44:21 says, He knows the secrets of your heart. So that secret place is where? Yeah, our thoughts, our heart. That's that secret place. That's the secret place. But there's so many times, though, that our God, our Father in heaven is saying, where are you? Where are you? Where'd you go? I haven't seen you in a long time. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you? Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." So many times we're hiding, aren't we? God was saying, "Where are you?" Did God know where they were?
Yes.
Of course he knew where they were. He knew exactly where they were. It's not what he was asking. He wasn't asking that at all. Where are you? Where are you here? Where are you here? I can't reach you. Where's your head? You ever been with someone and you know they're not with you? And you go, "Where are you?" Bill has to do that to me all the time. All the time. He knows how I drift. So, and that's the thing. Where are you? God's saying, "Where are you?" Because you're not with me. You know, I'm with you, but you're not with me. And I need you to be back with me. So, it's a very important thing. And of course, we'll turn back to Matthew chapter 6. But I wanted to point that out because there's so many times we're not there. In verse 7, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do." Again, there's that word. Who does this? Heathens. Do we want to be compared with heathens? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. "For they think that they will be heard for their many words." Many words. The repetitive words. Vain repetition. Vain repetition, that means, vain means meaningless. And I kind of looked that word up, and yeah, that's what that means. Meaningless babble. Meaningless babble. The heathens did this. The heathen and said the hypocrites earlier, but now he's saying heathens. Do you want to be known as a heathen? That's how they do continuous chanting, repetitive word. That's heathen worship. And sometimes we're like that and we want to think sometimes God is like us. Sometimes it takes us hearing something several times to get it into our thick skulls. So we think maybe God's that way. We want to kind of humanize him. And that's the thing is we can be difficult. In fact, look at these commercials. Why do companies spend millions and millions of dollars on ads and commercials? Saying over, if I see another Liberty Mutual commercial, I'm going to scream. I asked Bill, I wonder how much money do they spend on these commercials, because it's constant. And it's not just that one. There's many of them. Geico, you know, there's so many that you see them all day long and all night long. But these commercials, and they know this. They know that when you keep hearing it over and over again, it eventually does sink in, doesn't it? It does get there. And they know they spend money investing in that belief because it does work. It does work. And sometimes it does penetrate. But why does it take so many times? Why does it take so many times for us to hear something? Yeah. Maybe it's because we don't listen. We're not very good listeners a lot of the time. A lot of times we're too busy and doing our thing. We're not listening. We're not listening to God as well. But God hears the first time, doesn't he? He hears everything. He hears. Why? Why does he hear the first time? And we don't need to do vain repetition. He's always listening. He's always listening. He's always listening. So verse 8, let's read verse 8. "Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And in this manner, therefore, pray." And let's say this prayer. Let's say this prayer together. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Isn't this beautiful? Now, if I can do this thing right, I wanted to break it down. It's on. There it is. Okay. And I have to turn around. Our Father in heaven, we're praying to our Heavenly Father who lives in heaven. God likes it when we call him Father, and he wants us to talk to him just like we talk to our own Father. God is our loving Father, and we are his special children, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. God's name is holy and special. Even though God wants us to call him our Father, he is still God, and he is to be respected and honored. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we think about where God lives, we know it's a great place. The Bible says that in heaven there will be no more crying. God will live with us, and there will be no more hunger or hurt there. This part of the prayer says that God's kingdom come and let God's will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. This means we're praying that people would live in peace and love one another the way it is in heaven. I knew that part would be cut off, so I brought my cheat sheet. This is the first time I actually did a PowerPoint, so bear with me. The part of the prayer that lets God's kingdom come and let God's will be done on earth, both just like it is in heaven. This means we're praying that people would live in peace and love one another the way it is in heaven. It reminds us that we should be living the way God wants us to live every day. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us today all that we really need. Keep in mind that these are things that we can't live without. We don't need video games and princess dolls to survive. Those are the things that we want. We need food, water, and shelter. We ask God to provide for us because we love and trust him. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This next part of the prayer is asking for forgiveness for our mistakes. Forgiveness means that we are sorry for something we've done, and we don't want to do it anymore. But we also need to forgive people who have done wrong to us. Sometimes others hurt us very badly. So we need to ask God to help us forgive them. If we forgive others, God will forgive us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It is sometimes very tempting to do something you're not supposed to. This part asks God to help us to know the right thing to do, to protect us against the evil that is in the world and keep us away from it. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The last part of the prayer is the best part. For yours is the kingdom, and means that heaven will last forever and will always be God's. God also has all the power and all the glory forever. It makes me happy knowing that God will never die, and he's the strongest and the greatest. With God, we will always win. Amen means so be it. We are asking for this to be the ways things are. So there's such sacredness in the Lord's Prayer. It's just a beautiful prayer. It's a prayer that's developed. It's also a prayer that is for us as a unit, as a group, as a family. And notice it starts out with our Father, and because he is a father to all of us. He is a loving and caring father. All right. Now, verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Notice he says that again. He brings that up after the prayer, which that is in the prayer, but he brings it back up after. Is forgiveness very important? Why? Why is forgiveness so important? Why would it be? We are being forgiven. Could that create a wedge between us and our Heavenly Father? That wall goes up, doesn't it? And when we have that wall of anger or forgiveness, God can't penetrate that wall. He can't get through to us. It's like what God said, where are you? Where are you? You're living in anger. You're living in resentment. You're in unforgiveness. And God's saying, where are you? Where'd you go? You know, I can't see you because there's this angry wall, unforgiveness there. I can't see you. You know, I'm looking for you, but I can't see you. Verse 16, fasting. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. They're going to make sure their faces are skinny, okay? With a sad countenance, they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. And they mess up their hair, and they stand out in the open and look so sad. And so solemn. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Again, they have their reward. Where's the reward? Where's that reward coming from? No, if they're doing from man, yeah, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There's that secret place again. He knows your motives. That's that secret place. He knows the depths of your heart. He knows your humbleness. He knows where you're going with this. Are you doing this because you want to have a breakthrough with God, which is what fasting is? You're wanting a closeness to God. You're wanting to get more in tune with him. And he sees that. And it is a closeness. So that is something that he will always know. We need to choose. Where do we want our reward? Where do we want it to come from? Jesus. Absolutely. Absolutely. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that's a very important part. We want it now, don't we? We want that reward. We want that recognition right now. You know, we want everything instantly, you know. Even with our reward, even with our recognition, we want it. But James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4:6, he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Matthew 18:4, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So what's that common word? What's that word we keep hearing? Humble. Humble. We keep hearing that word, humble. Brothers and sisters, I will tell you this. It is very, very easy to step into boasting. It is very easy to step into self-recognition. And I am truly guilty of this, truly guilty. And when I think back of how many times I have boasting and I have made it recognizable of something I have done, I've taken away that reward. Immediately that reward has been erased from God's books. And I've never been so ashamed until I really started reading and understanding. When I got to the part that said, understanding the part that I have made a graven image of myself before God and stepped in his place. And that is somewhere I don't want to be. He wants to reward us many times, many times over. And he's sitting there waiting to do that. Every time we do something giving and praying and fasting, whatever we do in His name, He is on the edge of His seat, ready to reward us in that day in due time at His coming. At His coming, He's going to do that. Let's always remember to give God the glory in all things. Forward, and always look forward to His reward that is coming very soon. And I look forward to that day. And let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much. Thank You that You have a reward for us. Help us to stay focused on that day, not for now. Help us, Lord, not to step into self-righteousness. It's so easy for us to do. It is so easy to be there, to get there in instantly, and we don't even realize we're in it in our self-righteousness. Lord, humble our hearts. Bring us to an understanding where we need to be with You in that secret place where You know our hearts. You know whether it's genuine or whether it's for self-praise. Lord, do not let us make that idol, that image to ourselves. To not be worshiping ourselves, Lord. You are the one that truly is the one who is worthy to be honored and worshiped. Keep our hearts humble. Keep us on that straight path, Lord. Not to turn left or right, but to keep our eyes on You and be grateful for that reward one day that You will bring us. We stay faithful to You. In Jesus, Your holy name, we pray. Amen.